In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God is patient. He didn't destroy man on Shinar's plain. He didn't hurl down fire from heaven. But he is patient. Man was defiant while God was patient. He let them begin building. They wanted to storm heaven's gates and make God submit to them. Where Adam failed, they would succeed. They shook their fists at God and stormed at him with a thick, strong shield. They would be in charge of their life. They would have to answer to no one. So up went the tower. Man is capable of great things. Sin did not stop God from blessing man. He didn't only provide the bare necessities for life, but he endowed man with a vast variety of gifts and blessings. When men work together, they can achieve greatness and do things we thought were impossible. Look at all that we have come to learn and know about the world around us, even the heavens above, the stars, creation, life itself. We've built great pyramids, and we still really can't figure out how they did it. We built towers that stretch almost half a mile into the sky. We've learned how to fly and have dived to the deepest depths of the sea. Yes, man can achieve great things. God knows this full well, so he said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Nothing will be impossible. As far as we have come, we should have come much, much farther. But when man's progress is driven by an arrogant, defiant, rebellious flesh, it always leads to his destruction. It drives him further away from God rather than toward God. So they build a tower to make a name for themselves, so they won't be scattered. They are concerned about their legacy, what others will think about them when they're no longer here, how their children will remember them. They boast in themselves and glory in their accomplishments, while at the same time shaking their fist at God and demanding that God let them into his heaven, even though they defile his holy name. Still, God is patient. Still, no fire fell from heaven. He loved them too much. He allowed them to build, but only for a time, only for a time, only this far and no farther. He saw what was going on. He knew their heart. So he confused their language out of love, so that these men would not reach their full potential. For sin has so ruined men that this full potential would swiftly bring about his own destruction. United by one language, they charged at God, but now divided, they turn on each other. At one time, they built structures to take heaven from God. Now they build structures to take from their fellow brothers or to protect what they have already claimed for themselves. So here is the sad result of Babel. We are separated. We are divided. And this separation and division leads us to despise each other, our very brothers and sisters. Man hates his brother simply because he is different. The sin of Babel still afflicts us. And when there is unity, our fallen flesh defiantly resumes its charge at God, shaking its fist and demanding, "Who can stop us? Who can hold us back? We are in charge of our lives. We are progressing ever forward. No one can stand in our way." Then fallen man pats himself on the back that men can marry men and women women, because this is seen as advancement and progress. Meanwhile, the traditional family values of a husband, a father, and a mother at home in the same roof, the very beating heart of our society, is ripped apart. And mothers kill their unborn children simply because it is their right. It is their right to kill anyone who stands in their way of progress, anyone who may hold them back. We gloat about our sexual adventures while the traditional family, the beating heart of society, is ripped apart and completely obliterated. So you see that when fallen man unites together to work together, he brings about his own destruction. So in love, God does not let them reach their full potential. He is patient. He sees full well what is going on, and the longer these sins go on as if there were no punishment, the greater the punishment will be. Yet he did not send fire down from heaven upon Babel, and he has not yet upon us either. He is patient. He is patient so that Babel's descendants may come to know the true and living God. For God our Lord truly desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But today fire does fall down from heaven, and it rests on the heads of the disciples. Fire falls down from heaven to destroy Babel's defiant pride as these disciples preach the wonders of God found in Christ Jesus. They did not babble in unknown languages, but they spoke real languages. They did not talk about fantastic visions or about futuristic events, but they spoke about the wonders of God found in Jesus Christ, their Savior. They preached Christ crucified to gather all nations under this King of Peace. For unity is not found in speaking the same language or in having similar culture or traditions or values. Unity is found in Christ. True and lasting unity is found in Christ. It's the unity of faith, the unity of the church. And so today God pours out the Holy Spirit immeasurably so that his whole church might be united as one, so that these Parthians and Medes and Elamites, so that Jews and Gentiles, the ancients and us today, might all be united in one holy church. For they have been brought into the church the same way that you have, through those waters of holy baptism. Saved through the same blood that poured out from Christ's side and that was poured over them through the font. So today fire falls from heaven to destroy Babel's defiant pride and to unite all men under the King of the Jews. So here you sit. You have come from different places. Perhaps have learned different languages, grew up with different cultures, different traditions, different experiences, and yet you all gather here before your King. Here you sit, for God is patient. He did not destroy our idolatrous ancestors, but divided their tongues so that we might be born, and so that we might come to know the true and living God, so that his blood might drench us and cover us with his righteousness. Bathed in this righteousness, regardless of our culture, our language, our heritage, we are all one holy family. We are all one church, united together, one nation, a nation of kings and priests, called to serve our living God forever. We are part of the same holy church, for we all have one Father, and we all have been bathed in one holy baptism, and have all received one Holy Spirit without measure, who has destroyed our defiant pride and has brought to us the fire of his love. So we are not individuals. We are a holy community, united by the blood of Christ. Each of you belongs to the other. No one is independent of the other, for as a body has many parts, and yet they are all useful, so also we have a variety of languages and gifts and talents, and we all have our purpose. Yet you are all one in Christ, joined together, cemented together, bonded together in love, united together by the blood of your Savior. That is what brings you here, the blood of Christ. I know how much you love your independence, your individuality. I know how much you love all of that, but together you are far stronger. Together you are capable of far greater things. So do not think that you are better than others simply because you are different. but carry each other's burdens. For God has put these people around you so that you might be a blessing to them, and so they might be a blessing to you. We need them, and they need us, especially those who lack what we have. Let us also show an extra measure of patience and love to the godless, even those who are defiant toward God. For God has not yet rained down fire from heaven to destroy. He is patient. He is patient. And he has filled his church with the Holy Spirit so that we might declare the wonders of God and scatter his name throughout the face of the whole earth. Who knows which of them our Lord will save? Who knows which of their descendants may come to know the true God? God is patient. He is loving. So we too must also be patient. He sees all that is going on. Nothing has missed his eye. Nothing escapes his gaze. He sees and he will act. He will come down. So we wait patiently. We devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, which is our fellowship, and to prayer. For our true fellowship is not found out there, but it is found in here. This is our fellowship hall. And our true fellowship meal is not found in eating hamburgers or hot dogs, but here in eating the blessed supper, the body and blood of our Lord. For it is that and that alone that unites us. Regardless of where we have come, we all are gathered here before our King. We all come as repentant sinners to receive his eternal gifts. For each one of us confesses that we cannot, by our own reason or strength, build any kind of structure to get heaven. Our works cannot salvation gain. For we are saved solely by the blood of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.